from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. This is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we welcome you inside Everbank Field, inside the Jaguars Radio Network studios. JP Shadrick with the senior writer for Jaguars.com, John Osier. This is Jaguars.com Live. Glad you're with us on Wednesday, the 5th of March. We're getting close to free agency. Pro days have started. A lot of things going on, John.
Had to put the glasses on. Almost forgot.
Yeah, that's so, your shtick. I know.
Can't start the show without the glasses.
Got to have the glasses so you can see what the heck's going on in front of you.
What? Huh? Okay.
Right. Yes, I am here too,
okay.
John.
Good
yes.
to see you, JP.
A lot going on today. Will Blackman, cornerback, will join us here shortly. Chad Johnson, senior vice president of ticket sales, will join us live on the show as well. A big ticket package. All the season tickets are available today for the first time, and some new incentives there too. We'll get Chad's thoughts on those. Here's how you can get involved in the show. 355-NFL1 at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier, and you can interact as well. Of course, let's look at the Jaguars this week. A lot of things going on here with the Jags. Free agency looming, of course. March 11th is the first day that is open. You can start negotiations March 8th with players who are not in the building. Pro day season is here, of course, so a lot of college players getting their pro days in. And Will Blackman is with us in studio. And, Will, welcome to the show. It's good to have you. I know you're a big media guy, right? You love this kind of stuff, right? It's good to see you.
I do love this kind of stuff. I am moist with excitement.
Are you really? That's great.
No, I'm
great
to hear. I'm excited. Sorry.
What's going on with you? You're around this offseason.
I got to quote that, but I can't say who said. I'm doing well. I'm enjoying the this El Nino type of weather here.
What is going on with
I
that?
I know. It was 80. We were at the beach the other day, and then today it's freezing out there.
Horrible. Just horrible.
It's all good, though. At least, it's better than snow.
No doubt about that.
I'll take that.
So you're doing some workouts, right? We had you on video yesterday doing some workouts here in the off season. Things are going on here at the building, but take a look at this on the screen up here with a ball, and you're doing all the stretching. What is all this? What do you got going on?
That is my dynamic warm up before I do anything, before I work out, before I make breakfast, before I watch cartoons. I do this dynamic warm up. Just to make sure, I'm kidding.
I don't even know what that means, but it sounded great.
No, this was part of my, when I was rehabbing a couple of years ago for my knee, this was part of my dynamic warm-up that I did out in California. So this is what I do all the time. It's pretty cool.
Now, how would a guy like me fare in that dynamic warm-up, Will?
Well, I would say even for me, the initial, you would struggle a bit. You would sweat a lot. I remember Feely Mawala from the Colts, his first time doing that, he went through, I want to say, 3 T-shirts. So, you, I don't know, 6 T-shirts maybe for you?
Minimum, Will.
Will Blackman is with us, Jaguars cornerback. Let's go to Twitter. From at Kyle Turr, are you and the Jaguars talking about a new contract? We want you back. Hashtag Jags Live. Of course, that's the big elephant in the room. Come March 11th, you're on the open market, right? What's the latest on that?
Talking, that's all there is. It's just conversation. Of course, I would love to be here. As far as I'm concerned, I'm still a Jaguar until, we find out. But I definitely enjoyed it here. My family loves it here, and the fans are real, real supportive despite our ups and downs last year. So it's somewhere I definitely am going to try to stay.
Why was that, Will? You mentioned several times last year you've been around the league, you played for a lot of teams, been in different situations. But you really liked this environment. What was it about it that you liked?
I feel like they believed in me here. Despite the setbacks I've had in my career, they definitely believed in me here, and also they gave me an opportunity to succeed. And that's all you can ask for as a player.
Let's talk about the biggest play of the year for you. I know you were a little upset when the top 10 plays came out on Jaguars.com, right?
No, I was not.
And you
upset.
Weren't number one. Yeah, I saw it on
Twitter. I was giving Cecil grief, that's all.
I think you were mad about it. Deep down in here, you were probably upset.
It takes a lot to get me mad. It does.
You had the number two play of the year, and Kenneth Shen off Facebook asks, how does it feel to pull off a quadfecta where you have the sack, the forced fumble, the fumble recovery, and the touchdown all on one play, of course, against Tennessee.
It was pretty cool. We had fun on the sideline as a defensive back group, and you know, I kept talking to Coach Walker, Coach Babbage, to call a blitz and let me out the cage, so to speak. So I was saying that, like, literally take the collar off and let me go in there. And blitzing is something I do very well, and it was very cool to make that play for my teammates.
What's the closest before you've ever come to the quadfecta? I mean, it's obviously the rarest play on defense.
Well, I played some nickel in Green Bay, but it's pretty tough to crack that spot when you mm-hmm. have Charles Woodson in front of you. So, but I have been to the end zone. I think that was my fifth or sixth touchdown that I've had. So it's a familiar place for me.
Will Blackman is with us, Jaguars cornerback, Jaguars.com live. You've been through quite a bit, obviously. You went to the Arena Football League. You've been through injuries and fighting back from a couple of different knee issues and such. You've won a Super Bowl ring. You've had a lot going on in your career. But coming back from all that, going to the AFL, coming back from multiple injuries, makes what's happening now, last year, and moving forward a little more sweet for you, doesn't
right.
it?
Yeah, well, I want to clear the air. I signed an arena contract, but I never actually went. I never went to the team.
Got it.
Because right before I had to report, that's when the Seahawks called and signed me. So I tell you what, it's
you were at that point, though.
I was at that point. Right. I mean, when it's important, you're willing to go far and beyond what you need to do to succeed. And I was to the point where I was willing to humble myself. I just wanted, especially the way I felt, I just wanted a stage to show people that I'm healthy enough to play. So if I had to go backwards and, you know, humble myself and play arena after playing 7 years in the NFL, then I was willing to do that. So it's cool to, you know, miss that whole year, but to know that I put in literally 365 days a year to get to the point where I'm the healthiest, not only the healthiest, but this is the best I've ever felt. You know, at the combine, I jumped 41 inches in the vertical, and now I'm jumping 42. You know, I ran a 4.46 in the combine. Now I'm running 4.4 flat, 4.39. So it's really, really cool just to invest like that.
Sure. How tough is that situation? Well, you know, it's one thing for a guy who signed to a long-term deal at a place to come in, to work out, to prepare, to know where he's going to be the next season. But to sort of be almost an independent contractor at times, where you've got to prepare on your own, I guess talk about the difference in that and just sort of the focus you have to maintain.
Well, the difference is, I mean, you don't know what anyone else is thinking in terms of the GMs or the owners or the scouts, so you're always in suspense. So what you can do is, you know, there's a saying, you know, if you stay ready, you never have to get ready. So I just was able to control what I can control, and that's make sure that I'm in the best shape so that when that call does come, you know, then I'm ready to go. You know, the one thing that was beneficial is I was able to, for the first time, have, you know, Thanksgiving at our home in California, have Christmas at our home. You know, my had a birthday party with my son's friends and stuff like that. So it was interesting. And once again, just to know that I did all those things to get where I am now, where I have an off season where I'm actually not rehabbing. You know, I'm actually just training. So that's cool.
And a lot of guys, you've been around a long time, I'm sure you've seen it. A lot of guys in your situation sort of fall by the wayside.
Right.
And it's not worth it to them to come back. But this obviously means a lot to you to sort of keep going.
Yeah, I forget who I had this conversation with, but there are several guys who've had just, you know, an ACL, and they shut it down. I was thankful to actually have the resources. My trainer at home in Southern California, Gavin McMillan, I mean, this guy went above and beyond with his training. That's where that dynamic warm-up came up, too. It came from him. And we saw a countless amount of doctors. We drove up and down the West Coast and flew everywhere just to meet with the right people to get what I need to go. And it was that important for me. And, you know, I talked to Justin Forrest Hitt the other day, and he was like, you know, what are you going to do after football? And I was like, you know what? You know, I have my degree and what have you, you know, from Boston College in English. But as far as I know, football is all I wanted to do. And I might Brett Favre this thing. I'm going to play football. I'm going to play cornerback till I'm 50 if I can, you know. So as long as I feel good, I'm going to keep playing.
Can you grow a beard like Brett Favre, though?
Dude, I cannot grow anything at all. It's funny. I was thinking about that last night. I was like, man, if I could just – I can't grow anything. But I think that's from my grandmother's Native American, and I haven't seen a Native American with a beard. So.
Lately either, to be quite honest. Will Blackman is with us on Jaguars.com live. Let's talk about this room as a whole, the defensive back room here. A lot of young guys. I mean, you're a seventh-year guy going into the eighth. Five draft picks in the defensive backfield last year. You and Alan Ball are really the old guys of the room, and that dynamic was a little interesting, right?
No, it was funny. However, I did do a I did like a metabolic test, and there's like a metabolic age, and they said my metabolic age, meaning how my body functions, is of an 18-year-old.
Hey, so, congratulations.
No, thank you very much. Yes, but no, it's a funny room because they were trying to decide who is dad and who's grandpa between me and Alan Ball. And what happened was I think Josh Evans found a little strand of gray hair in Alan Ball's hair. So they called him grandpa. But no, it's a fun group, man. We have a group chat on, you know, when we text each other, and we just give each other a hard time, and it's really, really fun, and I can't wait till everybody gets back.
A lot of guys came around quickly. The young guys really, I mean, they were forced into action early, a lot of these guys, right?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, the coaches want to see who can play, you know, and at the end of the day, you want to be able to put the best players on the field and compete. So it was cool. You know, I'm sure as a rookie, you know, you want to play regardless if you're ready or not. So I think it was really cool, and I think it's a really mature young group. You know, I was really impressed on how all of them handled this past year, and not one time did anyone get scared or did they doubt themselves. It was really, really cool, and I it was cool that I can ask them questions and learn from them as well.
Sure. One thing I'm curious about, Will, a lot of players embrace Twitter. But you seem to be a guy who interacts with the fans on Twitter. You kind of like, I've seen your Twitter handle, you embrace Duval. How did that start? Is that just kind of who you are? You like connecting with the fans that way?
I do. You know, it was funny. I remember I was in Green Bay, and there was one particular player we were talking. He was like, man, I just can't stand, you know, signing autographs. I hate it. And I was like, bro, I said, the day you stop signing autographs, the day you don't matter. To those fans, when they stop asking you for it, then you don't matter. And it's important to connect with them because they're the energy, you know, that comes to the game. They're the ones that you want to play for. Like I can't wait, you know, to go on the field and perform for not only, you know, my coaches, friends and family and teammates, that I want to, you know, impress the fans too. I think that's important.
Speaking of social, let's go back to social media. Facebook. This is a question. I know three people from Rhode Island. Emeril Lagasse, Brent Martineau of Action News, and you.
And me.
So Derek Thompson asks, who did you root for growing up as an NFL team? Who was your NFL team in Rhode Island?
You know what? It was tough because I wasn't really a Pats fan.
It's right up the road.
It is right up. And yeah, and they had training camp right up the road. I went and saw Steve Grogan one time when I was really young. Mm-hmm.
But Steve Grogan, good
yeah,
pull.
I know. So, but I like players. Like, I grew up loving, you know, Barry Sanders and Deion Sanders. Those are my favorite players. So you can say I kind of leaned a little bit watching the Lions, but I didn't really have a true team growing up.
More social media. At Fox152 asking, gas grill or charcoal? This is probably for barbecue Twitter, the hashtag.
Oh, you know what? That's all these questions are so relevant because right now – I need to buy a grill. So, you know.
You need to ask them.
Yeah.
I don't.
Put it out there.
I don't know. It's tough.
Hashtag
it depends.
Barbecue Twitter.
It depends. No, with the maintenance, you know. I think I don't want my son messing with the charcoal. I don't think he will. We bought him a new bearded dragon. He calls him Puff. And he's busy with him.
Finally.
Gas.
Okay, you're going gas.
Yes.
Okay. Final question, the MC Whale asking, favorite song for karaoke? Do you sing?
Oh, man, you know what? I owe somebody a performance. I told them that I would sing Lady Gaga, Bad Romance.
How's that go?
Yeah, about that. Anybody have tea?
You can knock it out right now.
It's like a warm-up these... Dude, the best, I don't know what's the best, what's a good singable song? I don't know.
Sounds like you better answer that Lady Gaga
yeah.
song.
I know, I should, huh?
I guess that'll be your song. Will, we appreciate your time today, man.
Yeah, anytime, man. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
And we'll
That's good news.
Well, yeah, that's great news. And we'll see you back around in here, though.
No, as in I live here.
Oh, you're in Jacksonville.
We live in Jacksonville. Not I'm here, as in here.
But you might be here, as in here.
I might be here, yeah.
Possible.
Possible.
We'll see.
Yeah.
March 11th.
How about that?
Great job, Will. Thanks.
Will Blackman
with us. Jaguars cornerback joining us. Get ready. Jaguars.com Pro Day coverage begins in mid-March. Teddy Bridgewater, March 17th at the University of Louisville. Blake Bortles, March 19th down at UCF. Johnny Manziel, you heard of him at Texas A&M. That's March 27th. Their Pro Day is actually today, but he's having a personal Pro Day March 27th. Jadeveon Clowney, we'll cover that one at Columbia, South Carolina, April 2nd. It's all sponsored by Turner Pest Control. If you demand the best, go with Turner Pest. And, of course, on Jaguars.com as well, we'll have the NFL annual meetings this year, 23rd and 24th from Orlando. We'll be live both days at the owners' meetings. We found out yesterday, so that'll be in the middle of Pro Day season as well. Hey, it's time to talk tickets with a guy who knows tickets better than anybody, almost anybody in the building. Senior VP of Ticket Sales, Chad Johnson, is here. I saw you doing cartwheels down the hall a while ago. It's quite a day for you.
I'll tell you, last night I thought it was December 24th, and Santa was coming this morning. I couldn't wait to get going.
Big we actually went off script for you right now, Chad, so we're going hard right now.
All right, let's do it.
I walked through the sales office a while ago. Phone's ringing off the hook. It was a great start to this.
I'll tell you, as the news has hit over the last few days and we've had some time with our fans, it's amazing the response we're getting right now. And really, it's the fans' plan, though. They designed this for us, and I think now that they're seeing it firsthand, they're really excited.
Talk about that a little bit, because you mentioned it at the fan forums. Not everybody got to see those. How did they design it?
So we spent a lot of time last year sending out surveys and listening to our fans, not only about their experience in EverBank, but what else did they want us to deliver? And we spent a lot of time in January evaluating that. And we heard a few things from everybody pretty consistently. You know, our fans wanted recognition. We know we're coming up on the 20th year here, and we've had fans that have been with us for every single one of those. So they wanted to be recognized. Number two, they wanted year-round engagement, right? The Jaguars are part of their world all year round, and they're watching you guys, and they're consuming our information year-round. Why is it that we're not engaging them back the same way? And then lastly, we heard they wanted choices. You know, in the past, as an organization, we've come out and we've said, hey, here's your benefits that we think are important. But there's a lot of different types of fans here. You know, maybe a family that comes with two young kids under the age of 10, and they're completely different than maybe a 31-year-old fanatical fan that just eats and breathes the Jaguars, or different than maybe the head of sales for a business. Mm-hmm. Each one of their objectives and needs are different, and we're going to give them choices now to participate in programs that fit their needs.
And those guys who have been there 20, 15, 5, they're not shy about telling you, are they?
I love to say, hey, how many day one fans do we have, and watch everyone put their hands up and watch out. But more importantly, how proud they are when they do it. And they deserve to be. They deserve to be recognized. And this year we're going to recognize all of our tenured accounts, starting with our day one 20-year season ticket holders. And we're going to put up a permanent structure in the facility that they can walk and bring their friends and family and say, see, there's my name, day one Jaguar season ticket holder. And that's pretty cool for them.
Do you know any more details on that yet, where that might be in the
stadium? So it looks like we're going to do it in the south end zone, okay, which is a place that, you know, a lot of our fans congregate before the games. It'll be a permanent structure that will continue to be updated each year as the 10 years grow with our fans. But what we do want to do is recognize not only our day one, but we want to recognize the fans that have been with us 15 years, 10 years, 12 years, whatever it may be. And so each and every season ticket holder this year will be recognized for their tenure, and we'll continue that program moving forward.
Important to note that in the announcement today that pricing across the board stays the same, right?
It's funny. Today, the first question everyone asks had been, how much more do I have to pay to be a part of Jags 365? Yeah. And the important thing for us is we've said since Shad bought the team, you know, we want to deliver the best fan experience in football. And that's not just what goes on in the stadium, but that's the value they get as a season ticket holder Year-round. And so the goal isn't to try to get a couple extra bucks here. The goal is to try to make sure you've got the best experience possible.
Important, looking out in the stadium now, on the live cam, by the way, jaguars.com/live cam. You can see the live demolition beginning in the north end zone. I know for everybody in the building that's exciting, certainly for you, because that gives you more options now and gives the fans more options in terms of tickets.
Yeah, we'll be introducing about 5 new seating products here that are not only new to EverBank Field, but new in all of the NFL and probably all of sports, you know, especially in that north end zone area. To imagine that we're going to have cabanas, that you can sit in front of a pool and watch a live NFL football game.
Can we reserve one of those for Jags Radio? It'd be great.
I think say Shatterside.
Maybe opening day. We'll put the sunscreen on.
I like that. I need that for sure. But there's a lot of other options, like on the side, that people might not know about.
Well,
now, between the 20s.
You know, right now we're going to be introducing some new club tables right there, best yard line in the stadium. It'll be a private high-top table with food and beverage service right there at some of the best locations. And then, you know, really exciting, we're going to be offering field seats for the first time. Fans will actually have the ability to sit on the field at player level and watch the game from the same perspective the players and coaches see it.
What's your thought on the excitement level over the video boards? You talk to a lot of fans. You're as engaged as anybody.
Yeah.
Where is that?
For us to be able to explain how different that experience will be now, it's not just that, hey, we've got this big TV, but they're going to be able to receive content that they've never been able to receive. Right. You know, multiple angle replays, statistics and fantasy information and content that's never been here in the game before. So that changes it. And it's not just the scoreboards. We're going through a complete technology upgrade into the whole stadium. Mm-hmm. So the entire experience now, you imagine, when we can take over the entire bowl with energy and just bring this place to life, is going to be amazing.
And this is unique, but it's really cutting edge. This is something that at some point over the course of the next 5-10 years, every team's going to move toward this because you've got to make the fan experience special.
Yep. We continue to battle every day. How do we make coming to Everbank Field better than being at home, better than being at a sports bar? And I will tell you now, with the resources we're going to have, there is no experience anywhere that will be like being right here for the game.
And not everybody gets to meet J.P. Shatter. So you got to give
this
some
is in the pool, maybe. They may be J.P. Shatter in the pool.
I like this guy already. Yeah. Great idea. I know you have a busy day ahead. Thanks for your time today.
And thanks, guys.
We appreciate it.
No, we're excited.
Chad Johnson, Senior VP of Ticket Sales for the Jacksonville Jaguars, joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Of course, the Jags today announced a new initiative, Jags 365, providing a greater level of service and new experiences for season ticket members. Unprecedented access to Everbank Field, coaches and players, and exclusive events and packages tailored to your personal preferences, as you just heard. New seating options announced today. For more information, visit Jaguars.com and click on tickets. And this home schedule is fantastic, of course. Indy, Tennessee, Houston in the division. Miami is here. Cleveland and Pittsburgh from the AFC North. The Giants will be here as well. The Dallas game is in London. So the preseason games will be announced at a later date. I guess that happens, John, during the owners' meetings or somewhere there.
But Chad's always so down.
Yeah. He's
I get tired of walking around the hall and seeing him always kind of moping around.
What a day for him, huh? Big day for Chad. Thanks
Great
for
guy.
Him to coming on. Will Blackman, interesting to hear from a guy who has a little perspective, both in and out of the league. Was down to almost his lowest point as a pro at one point, being injured, had to sign that AFL deal, and then came back through and worked his way back.
Well, it's interesting. I tried to ask him a little bit about it. It's tough for a guy. It's a different thing for a player when you're not attached to a team long term. You're coming in and you're sort of trying to figure out what the best way is for you to prepare, where I'm going to fit, be as prepared as possible, and you're not really in that NFL locker room environment in the offseason. It's tough for a guy in his situation to sort of keep going and stay true and, you know, and I keep doing the right things. It's impressive that he is continuing to carve out his career.
At Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osher, that's how you can get into the show. It sounds like he'll be back. I mean, that's pretty much the prevailing thought, I think, around.
Yeah, I think he will be. I mean, he's a free agent, so you don't want to say anything before it happens, before it's official, but I would guess he'll be back, and I would guess he'll continue to play a good leadership role. He was a valuable guy, and he was one of those guys we've talked about at JP that they wanted last offseason when they sort of threw this thing open to competition and said, we're not going to worry about where a guy was drafted. We're not going to worry about this or that. It's going to be about who plays out on the field. All the transactions were made with the idea of finding a few Will Blackmans, finding a few guys who could help, finding a few guys who could start the core of the team, get the culture right. He certainly fits into all that.
Moving on, one of the biggest stories this week, John, was the release of Uche Nwaneri after, 7 years with the Jags, former pick out of Purdue, right guard, no longer around here. And a lot of fans are surprised by that.
Well, they are, and we'll get to that. Before we get to that, you run across a few guys in your career who are just class acts in the locker room. Not every player is as good after a loss, is as good after a win, is as good when, you know, you're 0-8. Uche, I think I speak for everybody in the media and probably most fans who have dealt with him, he always appreciated the fans, the media, the opportunity, being in the NFL, an absolute joy to be around as a person, and I'm sure he's going to catch on somewhere. He's going to be productive, but he's going to be remembered fondly by this fan base and the media, and now on to football.
And now on the football side, there are a lot of fans that are surprised by this. There's a new center coming at some point. That's obvious because Brad Meester's
retired. There
better be. If not, we're in trouble. There's question marks at the left side, at left guard. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows what happens there with all the injuries. Rackley came back. He's been around the building. We've seen him. Brewster had a broken leg last year. Jack McClendon had some time there, too.
Yeah.
So it was a revolving door there last year. And now with Winery gone, the right side's open. So a lot of people are surprised that they didn't mm-hmm. they're going to have an interior lineman that's been around.
Well,
basically,
it's kind of staggering. First of all, when you look at it, Uche and Brad Meester combined, I think, missed like two games in the last 4 or 5 years. So they've been the guys that you could count on. At the same time, Uche's going into his seventh year. This team's trying to get younger. They just wanted to revamp the entire interior of the line. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe one of the names you just mentioned plays some sort of role. But it also wouldn't be shocking to see three new starters in there. I mean, this is a line that is going to be very young next year. You're going to have Luke Jokel on one side, Austin Pastor on the other. And then the brunt of your interior line is going to be very young. Maybe the oldest guy is going to be maybe in his fifth year if it's a free agent coming in. I expect one unrestricted guy to start there. You don't know who that is yet. But that guy is probably going to be the old man of the bunch. So it's going to be a young line. It seems very similar to what they did with the defensive backfield last year. They put themselves into a situation. Dave talked about the defensive backfield last year. They sort of created their own urgency. He used that phrase a lot. Well, they've created their own urgency with the offensive line now because they've got to find three guys in there. They think they're set at on the outside, mm-hmm. but the next few months are going to be about trying to figure out those middle three guys, and it's an important thing that had to improve, frankly.
Whether it's free agency or in the draft, you know, that's where the focus is going to be a lot of.
I'd expect one veteran,
what do you think?
One younger guy,
yeah,
and a rookie. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, what are your thoughts on free agency coming up? I mean, a lot of fans are, you see it on Twitter, talking about the Mac mm-hmm. at center and all this, but he got tagged,
right.
an interesting tag yesterday. Kind of make some sense of all that, and it's a little early to tell specific names on this, but
right.
What does that mean?
I don't I'd be surprised if before Alex Mack got transitioned by the Browns, I don't know that they're going to spend that kind of money on the interior of the line. He's going to be an expensive player to acquire. They're going to target guys, and it's going to be, I think, a little more aggressive than last year, but similar to last year in the sense that they're going to sign guys that make sense for where they're at. There's really no reason to break the bank on one guy, especially on the interior of the line, because that guy's not going to put you over the top immediately. You've got to fit the veterans into the build the same way you're doing the rookies. But I think they will target guys in free agency on the interior of the line. I think you'll see a starter emerge from that, although it may not be the highest-priced guy on the market. The highest-priced guy on the market, no matter where you are as a franchise, is usually not the way you want to build as a plan. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, you might see one of those high-priced guys, but I don't think you'll see it on the interior of the line.
Speaking of free agency, what's next? I mean, they can start. It starts the 11th. That's mm-hmm. when it opens for business, but there's a negotiating period before that, right?
It starts the 8th, where you can start negotiating with unrestricted free agents, can start negotiating with teams that they're not involved with. I would expect to see something start moving with Chad Henne this week.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he's not back, and I think he's going to play a big role going forward if that gets done, and I think it will. It just makes sense for it to get done. But on the other front, it starts, I believe the 8th is Saturday. So you'll start hearing news about negotiating, and Twitter will be blowing up with that sort of news, and it's going to be an exciting time next week.
One more note on Henne. You know, it's one of those where if they have him back, which they said mm-hmm. that they want him back, and it might get done before the period even starts, which is a week away. If they have him back,
yeah,
no reason to sign him back if he's not going to be a big contributor moving forward.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Dave Caldwell keeps talking about trying to re-sign Chad Henne as a bridge to the future. And I think that bridge means that he's going to play early. I don't think there's a guarantee that whatever rookie or new guy is signed a quarterback is going to come in and start. I think
no matter where it's picked.
Right. If Chad Henne's back, and that's an if because there's been no news in that negotiation, I got an idea that that's going to get done. If it is, I think he's going to be a big part of what's going on.
We'll find out
soon enough.
Yes, we will. Free agency starts March 11th. Jaguars Thursday coming up on WOKV Radio tomorrow at 6. Brian Sexton, Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman, Jaguars Thursday News Talk WOKV, now 104.5 FM and on AM 690. Well done, John.
Just hit close music. That's what we just did.
We just hit it.
We're closing.
We're out of here. Next week, we'll be back right here from the Jaguars Radio Network studios with more Jaguars.com live. Thanks to Will Blackman for joining us, Senior VP of Ticket Sales, Chad Johnson as well. And thanks to you for watching. For John Osier and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. We'll see you next week on Jaguars.com Live.